Okay, we're starting the Mishnah on Samach Alpha and Aleph. And here we're continuing from the previous Mishnah, which laid out for us the different permutations of Tnufa and Hagasha. Over here we have Elu Tunot Tnufa, Ve'en Tunot Hagasha. So whereas before we were dealing those Menachot that had Hagasha, but no Tnufa, now we're doing the opposite. These are the Menachot that require Tnufa, but do not require Hagasha. First one is Log Shemen Shel Mitzorah Ve'ashamo. They both, the Asham Mitzorah and the Log Shemen and the Mitzorah, both get Tnufot, but they don't have any din in Hagasha. Habikurim kedivrei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and the bikurim according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov require tnufa but no hagasha. Ve'emurei shalmei yachid, the emurim from the shlamim of a yachid, including the chazev shok, which are the matnot kihuna that go with the shalmei yachid shalahen, they are all put together and they have a din in tnufa. Echad anashim ve'echad nashim beYisrael v'lo be'achirim. So it's true of men and women. With Israel and not with others. So the Gemara will deal with what does that mean? What are the different ideas? Who are these others? And what's the din of Nashim and not? So now the Shtei Alechem, Ushnei Kivtzei Atzeret. So here we had Parashat Emor last week, where the Shtei Alechem and the Shnei Kivtzei Atzeret both get Tnufa, but don't have any requirement of Hagasha. Ketzed Huose, how does he actually carry this out? By the Shtei Alechem, the Kivtzei Atzeret. Notein Shtei Alechem al Gabei Shnei Kvasim. He puts the two Lechem on top of the Kivtzei Atzeret. Umeniach Shtei Adav Lamata. And then he puts his two hands underneath the Kivtzei Atzeret. Molich Umevi. Back and forth. Maler Morid, up and down. Shneemar, because it says Asher Hunaf by Asher Huram. So you have two verbs here. Rashi discusses exactly what the limud is here of Hunaf and Huram. Is this a Gilui Milta to any time you need Tnufa? That we learn from here by the Miluim that Asher Hunaf, Asher Huram, that the Tnufa means both Hanafa and Harama, meaning it means up and down and back and forth. That's one possibility that Rashi raises. The other possibility is he says that the earlier, right beforehand, it says Shenemar by Miluim, Asher Hunaf, Asher Huram, El Minei Ketiva, Nafta, Otam, Tnufa. So Gohani Tnufot, Lomar, Shemolech, Mevi, Malei Morid. So the definition of what Tnufa is, because it says Ve'anafta Otam Tnufa, the Tzivui was to do a Tnufa with them. And then when they actually came to carry it out, it says Asher Hunaf Asher Huram. So you see that the definition of the word Tnufa means Asher Hunaf Asher Huram. So it's either the definition of the word Tnufa, or it's a Gilui Milta on the word Tnufa, that everywhere you do it, you also do Harama that comes along with it. Not that the word Tnufa itself means Harama, but rather Tnufa comes with Harama. And because we see it in this one place, that's Megala to one of us that every place you have Tnufa, that you do it in that way.
What parts of the Kevis do they do Tnufa with?
The Shalmei Yachid, it's the Emurim, and the Chazen Shok that are done together. They mentioned over here, it's the Matnot Kuhuna plus the Matnot Mizbeach. That's generally, whatever the Hanafa generally involves, the Matnot Mizbeach and the Matnot Kuhuna. Haitaba Mizrach. Tnufa can be done even in the East. It doesn't mean it has to be done in the East, but it doesn't have required of being done by Marav, because the East is still considered Lifnei Hashem, and doesn't have to be done in the Marav, which is absolutely Lifnei Hashem. On the other hand, the Hagasha has to be done in the Marav. Hagasha is done on the Western side, and we'll see later on in the Gemara that it has to be the Southwest side, because it has to be at the Pnei HaMizbeach, and also has to be Lifnei Hashem, and it has to be where there's the Yesod HaMizbeach. So all of these things force us to the Keren Maravit Dromit. Tnufot Kodmot HaHagashot. Where we have an instance where you have both a need for Tnufa and Hagasha, the Tnufa goes first, and then only afterwards do you do the Hagasha, and that's because it really only affects the next two Korbanot, which you can talk about as the Minchat Omer and the Minchat Kinaot, and that's because of the order of the Psukim, because it says Venif, the Minchat Sotah, it says Venif, the Minchat Lifnei Hashem, Vahadar, Vikrivota. The Krivota we learned yesterday was the Vikri Vikriva teaches us that they need Hagasha. So the order of the Psukim tell us that that's the case. Therefore, Tnufot Kodmot HaHagashot. And that's the next two are those that have both Tnufa and Hagasha, which is Minchat Omer or Minchat Kinaot, are the two that require Hagasha and Tnufa. Both of them have the Tnufa written by them, Minchat Omer and the Minchat Kinaot. The Hagasha, we saw yesterday, we learned out from Veheveta Vikriva according to Rabbi Shimon. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we only needed to learn out Sotah from Heveta, but Minchat Omer we could learn out from a Kal V'Chomer from the other Minachot. But either way, Hagasha is only learnt out by them, it's not written in the Psukim, whereas Hanafa is written by the Psukim. That may have been a good enough reason to have the Tnufa before the Hagasha as well, because that which is written explicitly versus which happens afterwards. Okay, Lechem Apanim, Uminchat Nisachim, Ein Tunot, Lo Hagasha V'Lo Tnufa. So these are the two exceptions that we had from the Miutim yesterday in the Psukim. Mi Eile came to exclude Lechem Apanim, as well as the Shtei Lechem from Hagasha. And Minchat Nesachim was excluded from the Vikri Vihikriva. So since we excluded them from the need for Hagasha, no Tnufa is written by them. Therefore, for the lechem panim in chad nesachim don't have hagasha and don't have tnufa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, gimel minim tunim gimel mitzvot. There are three categories, or three items that require three mitzvot. Shtayim b'chol chachad v'achad. Nobody has all three of them. Each one has two out of the three. V'shlishit ein b'hem. V'heilein. These are the three. Zivchei shami yachid, the shlamim of a yachid, and the zivchei shami tzibor, the shlamim of the tzibor, as well as the asham mitzora. Those are the three karbanot that we're talking about here. Those three karbanot have the possibility of doing three different things, but each one of them only has two out of those three. And that is zivchei shami yachid tunim smicha chayim. They require smicha utnufa shchutim. And the tnufa, as we mentioned earlier in the Mishnah, is after they're ready shachut, because it's the chalavim as well as the chazeh and the shok that are only going to be done after shchita. So they have a din of smicha, like all the karbanei yachid, they have a din in smicha, as well as a din in tnufa, but tnufa of shchuta. Ve'im b'hem tnufa chayim. They have no tnufa while they're still alive. So next is the zivchei shalmei tzibur, which are the kivsei atzeret, the shlamim that are brought on Shavuot along with the shtei alechem. Over there, we already know that they require tnufa chayim. We just mentioned that before, that you put the shtei alechem on top of them and you do the tnufa. And they also require a tnufa when they are shachut. After they are nishchat, they also have a second tnufa that is done. They learned that out from shalmei yachid. But in terms of smicha, there is no smicha about them because they're not a karbana yachid, they're a karbana tzibur, and there is no smicha associated with them. So they have tnufa michayim, tnufa after shchita, but they have no smicha. And the asham mitzora has the last of the permutations here, which is it's ta'un smicha, it's a karbana yachid, requires smicha. It also has a tnufat chai, the asham mitzora, the tnufa is done while it's still alive, but ein bo tnufa shachut. On the other hand, it does not have a tnufa b'shachut. Smicha is not written there, as Rashi points out, that smicha gamrin on the whole karbanot yachid. We learned that for all karbanot yachid of it didn't smicha, and therefore the Asher Mitzvah also gets smicha, and the tnufa chai. So that's what Rabbi Shimon is pointing out here, is that you have tnufa chai, tnufa shachut, and smicha, three items. We have three karbanot here, each one of them has two of those categories, not the two the same, but each one has two, nobody has all three of those categories. Tan Rabbanan, v'ikriv oto le'asham vet log ha-shemen, ve'nif otam tnufa. So melamed, shetu'unim tnufa ke'echad. So that you need to do tnufa altogether, which means the log ha-shemen, and the Hashem. And you would have had a Havamina. Rashi points out, it says, V'ikriv oto the Hashem, vet log Hashemen ve'hinif. So it sounds like the tnufa is going on the log Hashemen. But then it says, ve'hinif otam. So the otam in plural takes it back and says, both the Hashem and the log have to be brought together. And that's why they concluded that they require tnufa ke'achad. Uminayin shehem nif ze be'atzmo ve'ze matzmo yatsa. How do you know that it works if he does it separately? They don't do it together. Tamal Omar, v'ikriv oto the Hashem ve'hinif. Meaning that the word enif is written in this singular. So there it sounds like the Hainif is going back only on the Vikribot Ol Hashem or the Log Hashem, and each one of them independently is modified by the word Vainif, not that they have to be done together. The Otam seems to bring them together. So now, Yochol Yenif V'Yachzir V'Yanif, maybe you should do it one Hanafa, then come back and do another Hanafa. Talom Lomar Tnufa V'Lo Tnufot. It says one Tnufa and not two Tnufot. Once you've done it once, you don't go back and do it again. And the extra word Tnufa that is afterwards is for the Drasha, because it could have just written Ve'nifotam. You don't need the extra word of Tnufa. The extra word of Tnufa comes to teach you that you do a single Tnufa and you don't do multiple Tnufot over here. And that's why you don't do Yachol Yanif V'yachzir V'anif. Whether you did them together the first time and you think to be Mekayim the Pasuk of Heinif, you want to do them separately. Or the other way around, you did it Ve'nif the first time separately and now you want to mekayim the otam to do them together. Neither of those are permitted because it says tnufa, and that extra tnufa comes to teach us that's it, one tnufa and not multiple tnufot. Lifnei Hashem, b'mizrach, you could do it in east. Ba'amar, didn't you already teach us lifnei Hashem? Yachol b'marav, you would think you do it in the west because lifnei Hashem is in the west. The Kodesh HaKadoshim sits in the west. Lifnei Hashem stands in the west. Amrei, hanei mile mincha dikrei chatat. That's talking about the mincha. By the mincha it says kachatat kvecha Hashem, so they are termed like a chatat, v'chatat una yisod. And one of the dinim of a chatat is that it requires yisod. V'keren, so what would have been our option over here? You have p'nei mizbeach and lifnei Hashem. So p'nei mizbeach always means dromit, because that's where the ramp was up to the mizbeach, and lifnei Hashem. The lifnei Hashem, according to the Gemara now, means either east or west. The problem is that keren dromit mizvachit, the southeastern corner, lo yelo yisod, did not have a yisod. We spent a lot of time in Zvachim on that there was no yisod on the southeastern sides, whether it means the entirety of the sides, just the corner, the Machlokas HaRishonim over there, exactly what it looked like. But we know for sure that corner did not have it. So if you went to do it on the Dromit Mizrachit corner, which would also be Lifnei Hashem and and depending on Mizbeach, that wouldn't work because there's no Yisod over there. And that would be true, at least according to what Rashi learns and many of the Rishonim learn. That's true of the entire southern side and the entire eastern side. That leaves you only one option to do it Lifnei Hashem and still be on Pnei Mizbeach. Where's that? The only place on the southern side where there is a Yisod is in the corner by the western side, in the southwestern corner. That southwestern corner has the Yisod, and therefore the only place to do it both Al Pnei Mizbeach as well as Lifnei Hashem would be in the southwestern corner. So it's a practical issue by the Mincha. The need for Yisod creates that practical need to do it in the southwestern corner. But in Achanami, if it was just Pnei Mizbeach and Lifnei Hashem, that was the only thing we needed, you could have done it on the eastern side. So over here by Tnufa, where the only requirement is Lifnei Hashem, the Mizrach is just as good as the Ma'arav. That's what we're saying, and it's not a stira between the two understandings of Lifnei Hashem, because there's another variable by the Mincha, which is the idea of Yisod. Now, Vabikurim, Kirdivri Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, that the Bikurim, according to Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, require Tnufa, but they do not require Hagasha. My Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, what is this din Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov? Titania. Velakacha Kohen, Atena Miyadach, the Kohen will take the tenna, takes the basket from you. Limeda la Bikurim, Shetunim Tnufa. And from that, we learn out they need Tnufa, Divri Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. My time, other Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. What does Lakacha Atena Miyadach, what does that mean? So Gamar Yad, Yad Mishlamim. He has a Xerashov of Yad, Yad Mishlamim. Tivacha, it says over here, Velakacha Kohen, Atena Miyadach, that he takes the basket out of your hand. Uchtiv Hatam. And over there by the Shlamim, it says, Yadav Tiviena, that your hands will bring it. Ma Kan Kohen, Af Bahalan Kohen. So the first thing we learn out is that just like by the Bikurim, there's a demand for Kohen, because it says, Vakacha Kohen, Atena Miyadecha. So we know for sure it's a Kohen. Also over here, Yadav Tiviena. Who brings the Emurim? Who does the Tnufa? The Kohen by the Shlamim. So that's what we learn out from Bikurim to Shlamim. And the other way around, what do we learn out from Shlamim? Kamala Halan Bi Balim. Just like by the Shlamim, it's clear that the Balim also do the Tnufa. So to over here, Afkan Balim, that the Balim are involved. Ha Ketzad. How do you have both of them involved in the process of the Tnufa? Kohen Meniach Yado Tachad Yad Balim Umenif. The Balim put their hands under the Emurim. They hold the Emurim. They hold the Chazeh B'Shok. Kohen puts his hands underneath, and together they do the Tnufa together. And the same would be true of the basket. Lakach Kohen Atenem Yadecha. We're going to do the Tnufa according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov with the basket. The Balim put their hands on the basket, and the Kohen puts his hands underneath the hands of the Balim, and they do Tnufa together. Now, Tosus asks a very obvious question. It's a wonderful Tosus over here. Kohen Meniach Yado Tachad Yad Balim Menif. It says, it's got to be Lav Dafka. Can't be that he literally mean this. Tachad Yad Balim Amash. Tim Ken Avia Lad Abalim Chatzitza. Ben Akliu Ben Yad Kohen. That means that the Kohen is doing Tnufa with the hands of the Balim and not with the Emurim and the Chazeh B'Shok. Because his hands are below the hands of the Balim, not on the actual Emurim and the Chazeh B'Shok. So what the Tosus explains over here, Sof Shtei Midot Maskinen Gavei Balei Chavirim Linafu Kulhum Bahadi Hadodi Kavia Chatzitza. If they all did it together, it would be a chatzitza. Ella, so now what did he say they did? Abalim, okzim ba'ogneakli, v'konim b'shulav milamata, v'haynu tachad yad abalim. So interesting to us, what did he say? The, right, the balim hold the ears, hold the handles of the kli. The kohanim put it on the, under the base of the kli.
So they're under.
So they're under, right, they're below. Here, tachad doesn't mean under, but below. They're lower than the yad abalim, but not literally under the yad abalim. So that's very nice. And he says, v'bukunchus perish l'kaman v'perch t'emid. Rashi disagrees and he says we don't care the fact there's a chatzitza over here. The ikar tnufa b'balim, because the ikar tnufa is in the balim. That the kohenim are involved is all a lim. What do we see here from Bikurim that we bring Balakacha Kohen in? So the kohen are subsidiary to the balim and the balim are the ikar. So if they're below the hands of the balim, we're okay with it. One of the proofs to that is actually the Gemara and Sota. Gemara and Sota there says that they do a tnufa with the mincha, and over there the Gemara wants to know what they do. There's the woman has to do Tnufa. She's the balim of the mincha over there. If she's the balim, then the kohen has to put his hands underneath. He's going to have to touch the woman. So what is the Gemara talks over there? Oh, they're going to put a mapa, they'll put a handkerchief. In the end, they say they use a kohen zakein that is not attracted to the woman. But what do you see from that? That it sounds like literally the hands were underneath the hands of the woman. So he says from that, it sounds more, and the Yerushalmi, he says it sounds more like what Rashi is saying, that literally the hands were there. But Tosus is worried about this issue of chatzitza, and therefore he's unwilling to say that they literally had their hands underneath.
They had the basket, so the basket itself, that was a certain chatzitza.
All right. Right, but that there the Torah says the ring,
know,
the ring with
saying,
the tenet.
Yeah.
All right, so now the Gemara says, "Belema namik divrei Rabbi Yehuda." Why are you saying that this only goes according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov about the tnufa? What about Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ve'anachto zut tnufa." Ta'omer zut tnufa o'ena ela anacha. How do you know it's not placing the tenet down? How do you know it's actually doing tnufa? Shomer ve'hinicho. You already have the verb hinicho that told you that he placed it down. Hari anacha mur. That's already putting on the ground. Hamani mekayim ve'anachto. What do you do with the extra verb ve'anachto zut tnufa? So he learns out tnufa. So why does the Mishnah only say Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Right, you could have included that it was the day of Rabbi Yehuda as well. So one possibility is that which word came first in the pasuk? So lakach is first in the pasuk, and then only afterwards hinachto. So they went to the first limud in the pasuk, and that was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's limud, and that's why he's mentioned first. Not to exclude anyone else, but that he was just the first one. The other possibility, which is interesting, is Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Hol Verav Gavrei. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was a very special individual, and that is, as Rashi points out, Shuacham Biyoter de Kaimalon. In Eruvin it says Mishnat Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kov Vinaki. The Kov Vinaki, that it was clean, and he always had the Girsaot right. He was always very careful about his learning, and therefore, in general, anytime Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov appears, the halacha is like him. And that's, he has a special status within the Mishnayot, and as a Tana, he had a very special status, and that special status, when we say that, we mean that the halacha is like that. We're going to use Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov as being the representative of who says Tnufa, because once you do that, you know that the halacha is going to be that way as well. That's very important. So now Gemara says, "V'emurei shalmei yachid v'chazeh b'shok shalehen echad anashim v'echad nashim b'Yisrael v'arlo b'cherim." My kamar. What's going on over here? It seems to be a mess in the Mishnah. It's not clear what's going on. This is what it is. The girsa that we have in our Gemara is the girsa of Rashi. We'll read it with the girsa of Rashi. The Shitukum Ubetzit and Tosfos have an alternative girsa, or what was probably the original girsa in the Gemara before Rashi changed it, and they disagree with Rashi. So read it what Rashi has it. It says here, "Echad anashim v'echad nashim karban tu'un tnufa." Both men and women, their karbanot require tnufa. "V'emurei shamei yachid v'chazeh v'shok shalehen echad anashim v'echad nashim b'Yisrael avalo b'chirim." My kamar. What's this piece of the Mishnah saying? Doesn't make so much sense. At one point you're saying yes, one point you're saying no. How do we reconcile this part of the Mishnah? So, Amar Yehuda Hachi Kamar. This is what it means. Echad anashim ve'echad nashim karbanan te'un tenufa. That whether it's a man or a woman, their karban does require that there be a wave offering done. There is required that there be tenufa done. U'tenufa atzma b'Yisrael. But when it comes to doing the tenufa or executing on the tenufa, only in Israel, a male or a zachar will do the tenufa. Avalo b'dei nashim. But women themselves will not do the tenufa, but the kohen will do it on her behalf. So that's the statement we have of Rav Yehuda. The question here, and this is a big problem here in the Girsa, Machloket HaRishonim about the Girsa here, what is the status of the Oved Kochavim over here? Here he's not mentioned in the position of Rav Yehuda, and therefore how does he fit into all of this puzzle? So we will go here with the Girsa that is found in the Gemara. This Girsa seems to follow the Girsa that Tosfot also had and the Shittim Mekubetzet saw in the Gemara. Later on, the Shittim Mekubetzet calls that the Girsa of Rashi, which he does not like, and then he says he prefers another girsa, which Tosus quotes from Pirsa Kuntris, from Rashi. So we'll call it the first girsa, we'll read what's in the Gemara, and then we'll come back and then try to decipher what the alternative girsa would be in this situation. We're going to go with the approach that the Ovi Kochavim and Nashim and the women have the same status, and therefore we'll read the Gemara according to that, which seems to be what the girsa of the Gemara was, and what the Shittim Mekubetzet claims Rashi had as a girsa, as well as what Tosfot had seen in the Gemara, which is, Tan Rabbanan, Bnei Yisrael menifim, ve'ein ha'ovdei kochavim menifin. Bnei Yisrael do tenufa, but non-Jews, ovdei kochavim, don't do tenufa. Bnei Yisrael menifim, ve'ein ha'nashim menifot. Bnei Yisrael do tenufa, but women do not do tenufa. So now here you see an equation which equates that of the ovdei kochavim to the nashim. Well, the nashim we just saw that they are chayav or chayevet in tenufa, they just can't execute it, so therefore it's done on behalf of them by the kohen. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, matzinu shechilek ha'katuv ben korban Yisrael the korban ovdei kochavim. We find a distinction between the korban Yisrael to the korban kohen, the korban nashim, and to the korban nashim. Bismicha, when it comes to smicha, there's a requirement that korbanot need smicha. The woman and the oved kochavim cannot perform smicha, and therefore we are puter their korban, the gamri, from smicha. So just like over there by smicha, where we say the woman and the oved kochavim cannot perform it, therefore they're puterim from smicha, yochol nachlok b'tnufa. Let us say the same thing by tnufa. By tnufa, let us say, just like the Israel can do the tnufa, the oved kochavim and Isha cannot do the tenufa. So just like by smicha, that meant that Yisrael is chayav in smicha, he's chayav in tenufa. So to over here, when it comes to the smicha, the Yisrael would be chayav. When it comes to the tenufa, the Yisrael will be chayav in tenufa. And the Ovik Chachamim and the Isha will be pturot, they'll be pturim from the tenufa. So Mar says, lo, you don't have to say this. Mali chilek b'smicha. There he makes, there's a reason to distinguish in smicha. Shasmicha b'balim. B'smicha must be done by the balim. You can't have somebody do smicha on your behalf. Smicha is done by the owners. So you can't send someone to do it on your behalf. Nachlok b'tenufa, shatenufa b'kohanim. But then we have kohanim can perform tenufa on your behalf. From this point of view, then the Gemara says we can distinguish. We're going to distinguish between smicha and tenufa. By smicha, where they can't execute it, where they can't do it, the Isha and the Ovid Kochavim, they'll be Pturim the Gamre. On the other hand, by Tnufa, where they can't execute it, they won't be Pturim. It'll just be done for them by the Kohen. So Mar says, Imkein, Matam Alomar B'nei Yisrael. Then what do you need B'nei Yisrael as a mute for in the Pasuk? You're saying they're all Chayavin in Tnufa now. So no, the mute comes to teach you that B'nei Yisrael Menifim, B'nei Ovid Kochavim Menifim, who actually executes it. It's a mute for who executes it. B'nei Yisrael are Menif, but the Ovid Kochavim doesn't do it by himself, but rather the Kohen. When it comes to B'nei Yisrael Menifim, B'nei Nashim Menifot. And the same thing by women, the B'nai Yisrael, Zacharim, will do the Tenufa by themselves. On the other hand, women will not execute the Tenufa on their own, but rather have the Kohen do it. Based on that, and based on the way we just read the Gemara, the women and Ovei Kochavim have the same din, which is that they both require Tenufa on their Korban, but they do not do it themselves, they do not execute it themselves, the Kohen does it on their behalf. And that's how the Gemara reads. There are two problems, or two main problems with the Shita. Number one is, why in the Mishnah does the Mishnah only mention Anashim and Nashim, men and women? Where is the Ovei Kochavim in the Mishnah? How come, if he has the same din as the Isha, why isn't he mentioned in the Mishnah, number one? And number two, in the beginning of Rav Yehuda's statement also, Rav Yehuda only addresses Anashim and Nashim. How come he does not address the Oved Kochavim? So if you read the Gemara this way, it seems to be that what's found in the Braita is absent in the Mishnah, is also absent in the statement of Rav Yehuda. Now, Rav Yehuda is defining the Mishnah, but nevertheless, we don't find this equation. In the Braita, we find it, but we don't find it elsewhere. So that makes it harder to follow this Girsa. Tosos gives some suggestions about how to do it. Maybe the Mishnah and what Rav Yehuda's explanation are going according to the one who says that Oved Kochavim can't bring Shlamim. That's why they're left out. But the Braita is talking about, according to the Mandamar, who says that Oved Kochavim can bring Shlamim, and that'll explain the difference. On the other hand, Tosos quotes a Girsa from Rashi, Perish HaKuntras. The Shita Mekubetzet favors that explanation, but he says Rashi has the explanation that we just had, and he says the Girsa should be Acheret, should be different. And here, if you look in the Shita Mekubetzet, we'll read through it in Ot Bet, it's the easiest way to see it. He runs through it. He says, Girsat Rashi Uperusha, Kasher Kadu Besvarim Lo Nihira. Doesn't make sense, and we can't go with it. Because according to that, women and Ovde Kochavim are absolutely equal. And in both those instances, the Kohanim do it on their behalf. Fakasha. The Tanya Lekaman, we have explicit Braita coming up. That Isha Kohen Menifa Yada. It says further on that the Kohanim do it on behalf of the woman, but it doesn't mention there the Ovi Kochavim. Where is that Ovi Kochavim over there? And when it comes to Ovi Kochavim, it doesn't say that the Kohanim are Menifim Ayodam. They're absent. In addition to that, and Tosfos also reiterates that point. It says the Lashon Zem Yushar. This understanding of the Gemara makes sense. Shekama Mekomot B'Shmo Azu Yesh Lavin Shekarban Ovi Kochavim Ain Tnudin Tnufa Klal. That when it comes to the non-Jews Korban, he doesn't need Tnufa whatsoever. And therefore, I don't understand the Lashon that we have in front of us that says they're equal. Sounds like the Ovi Kochavim does need Tnufa. Therefore, the Shita Mekubetzet continues and says, Lefikach Nira Girsa Ktuva B'Sfarim. Therefore, the girsa that we have is like this. Im mitzinu shelo chilek atuv ben karbon ovdei kochavim the karbon nashim. He changes the braita to say not a distinction between Bnei Yisrael or a zachar, a male's korban, and nashim and ovdei kochavim. That's the chiluk that was being read. Rather, it's a distinction between nashim and ovdei kochavim. Says that we see that by smicha, there's no distinction between women and an ovdei kochavim. Both of them do not perform smicha. So also lo nachlok ben karbon ovdei kochavim le nashim bitnufa. tnufa. Should also not make such a distinction when it comes to tnufa. They should have the exact same din. I says, well, that's not true. By smicha, where the smicha is executed by the balim themselves, over there is a reason to say that there should be no distinction between the woman and the obed kochavim. On the other hand, over here by tnufa, where the kohen can do it on her behalf, there's reason to distinguish. And that distinguishment will be that a woman's korban will require tnufa to be done by the kohen, just not her. Obed kochavim will not require to do tnufa whatsoever. So then the Gemara says, umata malomar b'nei Yisrael. And what does it mean, b'nei Yisrael? And there it'll be b'nei Yisrael menifim ve'in ovid kochavim menifim, period. And he will not have the extra additional statement of and the nashim not. Lufi girsa zu, according to this girsa, ain't tnufa b'korban ovidim klal. There's no tnufa for a non-Jew whatsoever. B'korban nashim akonim menifim ayadam. And then the Shidim says, "V'tam yesh b'davar." Well, how do you explain that? Why should that be? And he says, "Lo mi bay lo mandamar shalme obdei kachavim olot." Even according, if of course the one who says that the obdei kachavim can't bring shlamim, there's nothing to talk about. Of course they don't do tnufa because they can't bring a shlamim. Anything they bring is automatically an olah. But even according to the one who says that a obdei kachavim can bring a shlamim, nevertheless, when they do bring their shlamim, the basar is not eaten. But that's not true by the karban nashim. By the Karban Hashem, when they bring a Shlamim, their basar is eaten, and therefore, they have a din of Balim. As opposed to Ovi Kochavim, whose basar is not eaten by the Balim, the Ovi Kochavim cannot consume the basar, they don't have a din of Balim. Since they don't have a din of Balim, there is going to be no tnufa whatsoever when it comes to the Karban Ovi Kochavim. So based on that, the Shidu Bavetzah draws that distinction. Tosuk again quotes this as the Shita and the name of the Perish of Kondris. The same idea, that the distinction here, there's actually three levels. There's the first level, which is the Bnei Yisrael, the Zachar who brings a Korban, he does smicha, and he also does the tnufa along with the Kohen. Then there's the Nashim. Nashim do not do smicha, but they do tnufa, but they themselves don't execute it. The Kohen does it on their behalf. And the third level will be the Obed Kochavim does not do smicha, and he also does not do tnufa. He doesn't do tnufa because he's not really the balim of the karban in the true sense of balim. He can't eat the shlamim, which is normally what's done with the shlamim. So therefore, he is excluded and precluded from doing tnufa whatsoever. The kohen doesn't even do it on his behalf. That's the girsa that's preferred by Rashi, as well as the shita mikubetzit. Again, there's Rashi that Tosos quotes as being Rashi, as opposed to the Rashi quoted by the shita mikubetzit, which seems to be like the first day that's brought down in the Tosafot. And now, Tani Yidoch, we have another braita, similar type of braita deals with this. Bnei Yisrael, in the Ela Bnei Yisrael, gerim abdim umshucharim minayin. How do I know they also have to do tnufa tamaloma hamakriv? Hamakriv. So anybody who brings it, does it. Uenu ela ze akoein hamakriv. Maybe the makriv means the one who brings the chalavim to the mizbech. Shomer yadav tiviena harei balim amur. Yadav tiviena tells us who is that. That's the balim. So that's what we said before. That was the gzera shava we had between yadav tiviena and the koein. That's how we know that there's a koein and the balim that are involved here. So we already have the balim. So then what does that mean? Then what do you do with the hamakriv? Harei balim amur. Akeitzad koein neachadav tachad yadav balim aminif. Keitzad ose meniach imurim al pisata yad. Places them on the palm of his hand, and they're piled on top. If there's also lechem that has to be part of the tnufa, lechem ilamala, then the bread goes on top. Heicha, where was there ever a case that you had bread that you did the tnufa? Amar papa miluim. That happened in the miluim was the case where you had lechem as well as part of the tnufa. Rashi and pei aleph and aleph. Look at Rashi. I'll just read you here. Rashi and pei aleph and says that's by the karban todah. The karban todah also has trumat the lechem that has to be done with the tnufa. And Rashi asks over here, how come he says we put the chalot Chuma on top. And he says, wait a minute. V'kashu d'hadamar le'el and pay aleph amenaleph. This is what Rashi asks. V'kashu kol makom sheish lechem alechem milamalo. V'amar heicha. And they said, where am I pub? Miluim. Amai lo amar. Nami b'toda ika. So why not? So is it ika l'terutze ikar milta nokad k'ratzinyan amenaleh. They brought the original time. This was the first time it was ever done. Not that this is the only place it happens, because it also happens by the karban toda. But ain't ochanami. That could have been the example, but they brought the first and the original version of it. But it also happens by the toda as well. So my time. Why is this true? Ilem mishum dechtiv shokachuma v'chazeh hatnufa ali she'ach halavim. So there it sounds like the shokachuma and the chazeh are on top of the halavim. Yaviu la'anif tnufa uchtva aktiv. But you have another puzzle that says et achelev ala chazeh yeviena. We have a puzzle that says that the chelev's on top. So how do you know for sure that the shokachuma and the chazeh go on top? We have a puzzle that says the opposite way around, that the chelev's on top. So I'm rabbi, how you the mighty lekoin mi beta mitbchayim? No, that's the pasuk explains when he's bringing it out of the Beit HaMitbuchayim is the place where they cleaned out the Chalavim. So they had washed him, and now they're bringing him to the Mizbeach. So when he's bringing him to the Mizbeach, the Chazeh is on the bottom, and the Chalavim are on top. V'rami le'ei, v'aktiv, we have another Pasuk, v'yassimu et ha-Chalavim ala chazot. Right, so there it says that you put the Chalavim on top. So he says, ha'uv'avilei the Kohen acharina, v'azil makhtir le'ei. That's when he gives it to the other Kohen to be Maktirit. And this teaches us to be in Shlosha Kohenim, Mishum Dichtib Rov HaMadramelech. He had three Kohenim to get the Chalavim to the Mizbeach because of Rov HaMadramelech. So what happens is, when they come out of the Beit Mimit B'chayim, the Chazer is on the bottom and the Chalavim on top. When he passes it to the Yad Balim and to the next Kohen, they flip it over. They turn it over to put it, give it to them. When they turn it over, that's the time of Tnufa. What's on the bottom? Over there, the Chalavim are on the bottom and the Chazer and the Tnufa, the Shok and the Chazer on top. Then when they give it to the next Kohen to put it on the Mizbeach, they flip it again. So in that case, what's on the bottom is the Chazer again is on the bottom and the Chalavim are on top. Since the Chalavim are on top. So what you see here, number one, is that there are three Kohanim involved in the process, and that teaches you Barov HaMadrit Melech. But you also see that in the middle stage, that's how we reconcile these three different psukim. Two of the psukim say the chazot were on the bottom, and one pasuk says the chazeh was on top. How do you reconcile that? Well, they're passing it from one to the other. When they pass it, it flips over. They switch the direction. When they flipped it over. So the middle kohen has it in a situation where the chalavim on the bottom and the chazeh and the shok are on top, and that's why the tnufa is done with the chalavim on the bottom, then the chazeh and shok, and then the lechem on the top.
When did they put the ad? When did they add the lechem?
Just at the tnufa.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, it's put on the mizbeach, but it doesn't come from the Beit Mitzvachayim. So they put it on top, and then that doesn't. Now, it doesn't. The lechem itself is a chumala coin. It doesn't go on the Mizbeach. It's given to the coin to eat, as well as the shok. Over here in the Shlamim, the shok and the chazeh go to the coin, as well as the lechem. So it makes a lot of sense that it's on top. Over there, they're talking about the miluim. And in the miluim, the chazeh went on the Mizbeach. It was an unusual case. The chazeh went on the Mizbeach. So over there, they switched it over. So that's why they had the psukim where the chazeh is on top, because it's going back to the Mizbeach. In the case, the normal case is when they're bringing out the Beit Mitzvachayim, you put you have the chazeh and then they put the chalavim on top and then they flip it over. After that point, there's nothing to talk about. The chazeh and the shok are given to the kohanim and so is the lechem. Then the only thing left is the chalavim to go up to the mizbeach. The psukim they're quoting are from the miluim. And so because in the miluim, you had that unusual circumstance where the chazeh ended up on the mizbeach. Okay, we'll stop over here.